and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Jurors in Sean Combs' sex trafficking trial will begin deliberating again after agreeing on all but the most serious charge against him, racketeering. Legal contributor Caroline Polisi.
The judge said, you know, stick to your reasonably and conscientiously held beliefs. Don't abandon them, but talk to your other jurors. Keep an open mind with the object towards getting a verdict.
President Trump's big spending bill heads back to the House after it squeaked through the Senate. But bad weather is making it difficult for some lawmakers to get back to Washington. Republican Russell Fry is driving up from South Carolina.
Flights up and down the East Coast are being canceled. But I'm not going to chance being stuck in Myrtle Beach in this historic opportunity.
The 90-year-old Dalai Lama confirms he wants a successor after he dies. The BBC's Laura Bicker.
He wants his successor to be found by his office and by no other authority.
Namely, China. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Today, lawmakers will continue working on the budget deal. The original goal is to send it to the full legislature today. The deal cuts income taxes by $1.3 billion for Wisconsinites, increases funding for the UW system, raises fees to pay for transportation projects, and adds new payments to child care providers as a critical government program ends. Republicans are happy to come to an agreement. Co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee, Republican Mark Bourne.
It's a compromise, right? We worked with the Gov, we worked with some other folks in the Senate side, and I think we're just continuing that work. We had some different ways that we approached it this time, and with any compromise, there's things to like and there's things to dislike.
Democratic State Senator Kelda Roy says although it's bipartisan, that doesn't make it a win.
We see a budget that was incredibly harmful, made slightly less harmful by Democratic input. Don't get me wrong. It's good to have less harm. But nonetheless, this is a far cry from what we need and what we deserve. The so-called tax cuts that are being touted by the majority party amount to a couple of dollars per pay period for an average middle class family. That's going to be totally wiped out by the property tax increases.
The plan also includes measures to close Green Bay Correctional in 2029.
Plans in the Department of Corrections to make sure that we right size and innovate in that area for the future, and also make sure that we close Green Bay Correctional.
But Roy says there are no guarantees.
The Republicans just threw it right in the garbage and are now doing this trick again to put it in this very fancy lockbox where it's never going to happen. It is a phantom. It's a total mirage. There's nothing that we're doing in this budget that's going to allow Green Bay to be closed.
After it passes both chambers of the legislature, the budget will go to Governor Tony Evers. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, Civic Media News.
Let's play two. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers and the Mets rained out last night in New York, so the two teams playing a doubleheader today at 16-9. Milwaukee, the hottest team in the National League for the month of June. I asked Sal Frelick, does he feel confident about the crew right now?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think we kind of came together almost about a month and a half ago now, and I think we kind of identified we maybe weren't playing our culture, our brand of baseball, and we fixed that pretty quickly, and good things started to happen. So as long as we can control that, I think we'll be in a good spot.
NBA, the Bucks land Pacers center Miles Turner in free agency, but release Damian Lillard. They'll pay Lillard $22.5 million per year for the next 5 years. So what does Giannis think?
Sources that relate to me that Giannis Antetokounmpo is not pleased with the Bucks' decision to buy out Damian Lillard for the remainder of his contract. He just didn't like how it was handled, and so I was told that he is not pleased with what transpired with Damian Lillard.
That's Chris Hayes of the NBA Network with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin has a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We have a slight chance of a scattered shower or a thunderstorm later this afternoon and again tonight. Otherwise, mostly sunny today with a high in the mid-80s this afternoon. Tonight, we're going to drop into the lower to mid-60s. Tomorrow, sunshine, isolated storms, 83. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
In sitcoms, when someone has a problem, they just blurt it out and move on.
Well, I lost my job and my parakeet is missing. How was your day?
But the real world is different. Managing life's challenges can be overwhelming. So, what do? We get support. The Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council have mental health resources available for you at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. See how much further you can go when you take care of your mental health.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
It's National Handshake Day, but I find the idea that you just meet someone and you're holding a body part of theirs kind of odd. Hello, stranger. I'd like to squeeze your hand. Let's have an intimate act here. I have no idea where it's been or how you choose to use your hand in your spare time, but I'd like to hold it for a while. Unless it's a friend. Look, I don't know why we have to touch each other when we barely know each other.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
Join us this Wednesday for our special early July 4th episode, digging deep on today's attacks on our freedoms. Defending civil rights isn't optional. It's our shared obligation. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 7:06. Nice to have you here up north on this Wednesday morning, July 2nd, 2025. Parker Olson's down in Madison in Studio A2. We'll chat with him again in just a little bit. And we have a guest, State Representative Angela Stroud, who will be joining us shortly as well. Brittany Merlot is off today, so keep listening to your favorite Civic Media radio station throughout the day for updates on your local forecast. But let me tell you who else is coming up along the network today. Coming up after this fine program is a finer program, Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair and Greg Bach. Dan Schaefer will be appearing there at 9:30 this morning to talk about the state budget agreement. A little after 10 a.m., they will be joined by Darren Von Ruden, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Do you remember the Oprah Winfrey joke? Was it Dave Letterman that told it when he was hosting the Oscars and talking about Uma Thurman? Oprah? That's kind of me with Darren Von Ruden and Derek Van Orden. You don't want to get those two confused. They could not be more opposite in their one is actually dedicated to farmers and improving the rural economy of Wisconsin. The other's a member of Congress. On the Todd Alba Show, I will join Todd at 2 o'clock along with Trigvi Olson from the Lincoln Project. And then the Maggie Dawn Show, a special edition at 4 o'clock today called Freedom Under Attack, including guests David Volker, a UW Green Bay professor of humanities and history, Howard Schweber, a UW professor of American politics and political theory, and at 5:06, Kathy Kramer, UW professor and chair of letters and science in American politics. And then finally, Nightlight with Pete Schwabba from 6 to 8 tonight includes a visit with Milwaukee film critic Matt Mueller and director Wendy Schneider. All of that ahead across the Civic Media Radio Network. Brewers were rained out yesterday, so there is a doubleheader today. Two games with the New York Mets, and it's a split doubleheader. So tune in at 11:35 this morning for pregame for the makeup game, game one of the series with the Mets, and then 5:35 tonight for game two when Jacob Mizorowski will be pitching. Freddy Beralta is doing the opening game, again, pregame at 11:35. When we originally booked State Representative Angela Stroud from the Ashland area, it was because she had to vote no on a bill that was purportedly going to help with the removal of lead water service lines in the Superior area, but there were strings attached. Since that time, since we booked her as a guest, there have been some very positive developments in that area, and so we're very happy to welcome Angela to the program now to tell us what's the latest in Superior. We'll talk about the whole range of the problem and the different ways you could address it, and hopefully a way that works out best for all parties concerned. Angela Stroud, how are you? Good morning.
I'm well, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you bet. So that's kind of, you know, the setup was there was this bill and you weren't thoroughly happy with it. But what has happened, you know, since the bill was being considered in the legislature?
Yeah, so this bill would change state law to give the last private water utility, Superior Water, Light and Power, access to public money to replace lead service lines. And the way that the Republicans who introduced the legislation seem to think about it is, let's just change state law and no big deal. For me, it's a really big deal when we change state law, especially giving a for-profit private company access to public dollars. So my thinking the whole time was, well, what is it? What's in it for the customers of Superior? How do we get the best deal possible for them? And I had some concerns. So one of my biggest concerns was the cost of replacement. The company was citing an average cost of replacement that was twice the statewide average. And even though they would get access to public money, customers would still be left with 25% of that cost. So when you have what seemed to be an inflated cost, then the remainder is passed on to customers and we're giving public money to a private company. It just wasn't good enough. We needed something in return, a better deal. And so for the last few months, I've been working really hard to try to figure out a deal between the company and the city of Superior. And we didn't have a deal when the bill went to the floor. So I was a no vote. And until we got a deal, I was going to stay a no. And I was going to encourage the governor to veto it. But on one of the last possible days, we got a deal.
Yes, you did. And did not, you know, just accept what was given to you in the form of a bill, because I'm sure you're aware, voting no on a bill that purports to help your own constituents, whether we like it or not, that's something that people from the opposing party would try to use as a club and beat you over the head with it. She voted no against removing lead water lines in her own district, but you were looking for a better deal. And so you feel now that this agreement that goes along with it, how did that go? Did you find willing participants? Was it a smooth process? Who all deserves, you know, credit for making this happen?
Yeah. So on the first point, it's clear that there were political dynamics at play about trying to target me. And so we can dig into that if you want. But to the good news, what really happened was, you know, the city and the utility, they have a long history, way before any of us were born. But the current leadership, you know, they've had some things happen where there wasn't a whole lot of trust. And so there was an interest in getting the bill from the utility. And the city, as I engaged more and more with the city, they started to sort of come around to the idea that there could be a benefit for the city as well. So my job really was to try to get these two entities who weren't really on great terms to build trust and get to a place where they could both see the win-win. And so I spent a lot of time with both parties, really kind of talking through how I saw the issue, how I saw the benefits, listening to them, trying to address some of their concerns. And you know, that took time, but now I think trust has been built and a relationship has formed and a partnership has formed. And really who wins are the people in the city of Superior who now don't have an average out-of-pocket cost of $2,500 each. So for me, that's a huge win. And we turned a real potential sort of liability into something that is a massive benefit for the city.
Were the Republicans who were behind the bill that was eventually, you know, passed and signed, would they count among the willing partners in negotiating a better deal for homeowners, or were they just hoping the law would be signed and that would be it?
I honestly don't think they had any idea about any of it. Like, I don't think they knew what the implications were for the public. I don't think they knew, for example, that the city has an interest in acquiring the utility. I don't know if they knew that the city council voted down a proposal of support for the bill. Like, there's just so much that goes into a change like this. But to be a good representative, you have to be on the ground asking questions and, most importantly, listening. And it was just very clear to me they weren't aware of any of the dynamics. They just thought, well, this is simple. Let's change this law and give the company access to money. I don't think, you know, we should ever act that way when we're changing state law, and especially when we're talking about giving public money to a for-profit company.
Yeah, I mean, there is a real difference in whether your representative or state senator is on the ground in that particular area. We're talking to State Representative Angela Stroud from the 73rd Assembly District in that area, where you and all manner of other legislators will be looking at this new state budget agreement. And I want to ask you about that. But actually, before I forget, I did want to come back and ask about the history of all of this, because I know Earl Ingram in Milwaukee reminds us about this all the time. When we talk about lead water service lines, so many people think of it as some kind of Milwaukee-only problem. And this whole episode really serves to remind us that there are places all over the state where this is an issue. I had no idea it was this big of an issue in Superior until this came up.
Yeah, I mean, one of the the great things about the new maps and more diverse representation around the state is we need to realize that in a lot of ways, my district has more in common with Milwaukee than with other parts of the state, and certainly more in common with Milwaukee than suburban areas. Because I really think the distinction isn't urban versus rural. I think it's urban and rural versus the suburbs, because the suburbs are new construction, which, not no surprise, our entire shared revenue formula is about new construction. They get tons of resources, tons of advantages, but these older cities, and that's really what this is about, older cities with old infrastructure and in some cases shrinking populations, another thing that Milwaukee and in my district have in common, we have different challenges. So, you know, Ashland and Superior, these are really, really old cities. And as a result, we need infusions of dollars to replace infrastructure of all kinds, including lead lines. And this is, brings me up another point, though, taking money from this public pool, you know, that's serious business because we're taking from cities like Milwaukee or other cities. And so that's just another reason to tread carefully in a decision like this and not to treat it like it's just something simplistic.
That's right. Alicia writes on YouTube. Oops, sorry. Let's get this one here. We've got the lead water service lines in Kimberley as well. And again, you've got in Superior and Milwaukee, you've got these ports on Great Lakes with the infrastructure that is, you know, tied into that to a degree, you know, in past history. And it's good to be mindful of, you know, the whole range of the problem before you just immediately accept what is given to you by, say, the private sector. So, again, getting back to my next question of you having to meet with the full assembly and consider the state budget deal, and I have been going over all the details of it, it is most definitely going to get a wide array of Democrats for and against and Republicans for and against, probably going to be the most bipartisan, the raw bipartisan vote on a budget we've seen in a long time. How are you feeling about it right now?
I'm still digging in. I mean, unfortunately, this process has been totally rushed. This isn't how we should do good government. The party of chaos continues to be the party of chaos, forcing really just bad governance practices. So, you know, I'm up early in part, not just for this, but because I'm still digging into the budget. I have super big concerns about public school funding in particular. I mean, by not raising general aid, what we're doing is putting more pressure on property taxes yet again. So it's kind of crazy to me that we would be touting that this budget has tax cuts at the same time that by refusing to raise general aid for schools, local school districts are going to have to raise property taxes to meet their levy. So a tax cut in one pocket and then raising taxes in the other pocket, really we have to ask what is the net benefit and to whom? And for working and middle class people, it's not actually going to net out to a tax cut or to a benefit. And meanwhile, schools are the ones who are going to be blamed for having to raise their revenues through property taxes. So yet again, the state legislature is failing to meet the needs of public schools. And it's just super disappointing that we're having this conversation yet again.
So you think that the conversations will continue for folks who think that this budget just didn't go far enough to urge Governor Evers to just veto the whole thing, even though he worked out the deal. But there are people that would still like to just scrap this and try again.
I mean, that would be my position. That is my position, that we shouldn't do that. We shouldn't sign a bill into law that actually harms communities. I mean, it's really hard to undo 15 years of neglect of public schools in one budget. I understand that. But by refusing to increase general aid, we're just contributing to the problem yet again. So yeah, there is a small increase in special ed. That's huge. That's helpful. But you have to think about public school budgets as multifaceted. It's not just one thing. And when you have a big problem, it takes big solutions, not just fixing one part of the problem.
We are talking to State Representative Angela Stroud from the Ashland area, 73rd Assembly District, about things that are happening up there. A local update is coming up next for some of you. And then when we're all back together in 15 minutes, we will be talking to a retired pediatric nurse and school board member about her letter to the WIAA, critical of their new restrictions on transgender sports participation. So stick around for that. And then in our next hour, we will be talking to Earl Ingram and Melissa Baldoff with our climate check. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
An unsuspecting driver at a Milwaukee barbershop.
I got an apprentice here shadowing me. I'm gonna put this hot towel on, man. About a good 3 minutes, all right?
The apprentice is Donald Driver.
So when you come here, you drive?
Yes.
Your car got seatbelts?
Yeah.
You wear them?
No.
Okay, but why not?
Because I don't want to.
But do you know you can get a ticket for that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna give you a ticket. Bet you wish you buckle up now.
Oh my God.
Donald Driver can't always be there to remind you.
Take it, click it. There you go.
Click it or tick it.
And let's reduce fatalities on Wisconsin roadways. Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
Crockett Septic provides professional septic system pumping, inspections, and portable sanitation rentals. Trust the experts and keep your system running smoothly. Call Crockett Septic today, 715-712-3456, or visit CrockettSeptic.com.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
The Joint Finance Committee was leaked that they intend to cut $87 million from the UW system budget. And so we put this out on our socials last night, and today the Joint Finance Committee decided to pull that from the agenda. Because apparently, from what I'm told, Republican legislators got a lot of calls. When the truth is disseminated and people react, results can happen.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station, and on the app. Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. And now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello all, welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic for this June 25th, 2025. Have your host, James Dane Mailoff here, welcoming into the studio a couple of great guests for us. We have, first off, Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Matt Zacher with us. Matt, good to see you.
You too, James. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. And, of course, Wood County Board Chairman Lance Plimmel. Lance, good to see you again.
Likewise, James. Glad to be here.
This is fun, getting to have you guys both in at the same time. I appreciate you both working your schedules to be able to do this, too.
Well, it's really nice, because we do have to work together on a lot of things, and I'm really lucky to have mayors on both ends of the county that are very easy to work with.
Yeah. Want to send a I wanted to say a big shout out to our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media as well. Be sure to do yourself a favor, go to YouTube, subscribe to their page, keep up to the great work that they are doing. Joe has one of the most amazing shirts on. It's fantastic. I love it. I want to talk to him about it after the show. It's some good stuff. Just trust me, everybody. Guys, first up, how are things going? We just got done wrapping up. Really, I think the signature event in Central Wisconsin, the Cranberry Blossom Fest. Mm-hmm. Also, the Connecting Entrepreneurs, Communities. I want to talk about both of these things. Let's start with Cranberry Blossom Fest. Seemed very successful in the area. I heard a lot of great things from people. This was your first to really, I don't want to say, being mayor of and sort of everything. So how was it for you on your end of things, Matt?
Yeah, I think, things went great. I give Stacy and all the folks that work at the Chamber of Commerce, Heart of Wisconsin, credit for everything they did and everything they put on, especially in the two hottest days of the year this far. That kind of threw some monkey wrenches into it, but I was down there multiple times just for the parade, walking around and the fishing with the police and just in and out all weekend long, and I think everything went great. Again, it was a little bit tricky between heat and wind, but everybody was having fun, and again, they did a great job putting it on and really bringing it together, and they did that at the same time that they really had a big hand in helping with the Connecting Entrepreneurial Communities, the CEC program that was on. That was the second year that the UW Extension did it. Last year it was in Platteville. Next year is going to be in Green Lake, May 13th through the 15th. I can't believe I remembered that off the top of my head. That's good. Yeah, so excited about that. But the whole event downtown, first part was on the east side, second part was on the west side for 3 days. About 200, a little over 200 people from all around the state coming in. Really, for the most part, you know, what I learned is it's more about the platforms that people have built, the agencies, organizations that are built around helping entrepreneurs, you know, get a leg up if they're just getting started or growing to the next level or getting the financing. And I think all those things are great. I know we still have a road to haul, but we're moving in the right direction to really get the people excited about taking on entrepreneurial activities and the risks and the investment and the ideas and really moving them forward to develop new businesses in town and throughout the whole county. We have over 5,000 active businesses in the entire county, which I thought was amazing. I say that we try to double that in the next 10 years, and I think we're going to be in pretty good shape. Small businesses are the backbone of our economy, small and middle businesses. So that's where we want to go, and as well as the big. If they come in, we're certainly going to be you know, smart enough to figure out how to get them in the door and get them set up. So a little bit of everything.
Certainly don't like any business to go out or anything like that, but I think that one of the things that, you know, whether you're looking at the numbers, reading articles like I am, or you're just in a rural community like we are, you've seen something happening over since really the pandemic, and I know we don't like to use that word, but since then we've seen a shift of people certainly, you know, being trying to be smarter with their dollar and some of these things. And with that, not necessarily not spending it, but where they spend it, how they spend it. And you've heard the mantra from us and many people in the community many times, buying local, supporting local. They've taken that to the restaurant industry in droves. Mm-hmm. You've seen even here in town, places like Applebee's and bigger businesses like that not doing very well since then. Where on the other side of it, you've seen a lot of mom and pop restaurants doing very well and surviving because most people are deciding, hey, I want to go rural. I want to go local with my money. Mm-hmm. And especially with the restaurant industry, just using it as an example. But with that are openings. There's openings. There's most people, especially when we're talking about entrepreneurs, most of them have to do with the food industry. And there is a big opening right there with that in communities like this. Mm-hmm. So hosting this and having this here, it certainly for any community, and big or small, it could be beneficial. Yeah. But boy, in this right now, 2025, in an area like this, is a perfect time to be doing something like this. And it's just one industry I'm touching on here that is you know, noteworthy, I think. But this is a lot of industries, Matt.
Well, we're big agricultural. I mean, and we've set up some really big businesses over the years that have revolved around that and continue to. And then you have offshoots off of that. I think, you know, again, just going back to what we were saying, like the biggest thing I think we have to start teaching our kids, and it can't just be mom and dad, although that's where it starts, in the schools too, from young on up. Like, even if you're being, you know, you're geared towards being a work, you know, you want to work for another company, you still need to run your labor like your business. You still need to understand money, how to save up that money, how to invest that money properly, how to always be looking at the future and what you can do to make your life better. Because if you make your life better, you're making other people's lives better. So it's a big circle, and certainly in smaller communities like this, you see the impacts pretty fast.
Yeah, it drives you. I mean, you don't want all your eggs in one basket, you know, and the entrepreneurial spirit is what drives communities. And, you know, even when you think of those big businesses, you know, I don't care if you're talking Apple, Dell, Oracle, those started with one or two guys in a garage. Mm-hmm. And they happened to get big. And, you know, both the mayor and myself have entrepreneurial backgrounds. That's where we came from. You know, started your own businesses, built those. And you want that spirit to survive, to thrive in town. And the event we just had, I thought was outstanding. I was only there for the very end of it, but the comments I heard from the attendees, fantastic. So the mayor and his team, the extension, everybody who were involved, be lauded for that.
Yeah, very exciting.
And it's going to be, I think, another part of this that's exciting is seeing what develops from it and what, you know, what businesses come from this. And I do think that it's noteworthy what you mentioned there, Lance, about your guys' background. Certainly love hearing your feedback about how the event went and everything. But given your backgrounds, you know firsthand what it takes to make or break a business, what it takes to really, what entrepreneurs, what people need in general when they're just getting going, and some of the gray areas that can happen. happened there with trying to open a business or something like that.
Yeah. And I think that's an experience, though, that we both bring to government to some extent. I mean, you always hear that, run government, you know, like a business.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It could be a record-breaking year for tar spot. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Wednesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. That's the way it seems to be stacking up, according to Dr. Damon Smith, University Extension plant pathologist. He said, although it's only the 2nd of July, already indicators that this weather is built for tar spot.
Yeah, well, so there's 5 states right now reporting tar spot, which is probably, I'd have to go back and look over the last decade or so, but that might be the earliest we've had 5 states reporting tar spot. So just to sort of give you, the timeliness piece here, the weather just really has lined up. That disease triangle's lined up and things are moving along. Now, I don't think folks need to panic right now, especially in Wisconsin. But what that does mean is we need to get out and scout, right?
That's for sure. Dr. Damon Smith, University Extension plant pathologist, on why we need to start looking early for things like tar spot and even white mold in our soybeans. Smith says that right now they've got a great cache of information available in one spot to help guide you on your scouting. BadgerCropNetwork.com, where under the Resources tab, you'll find the Wisconsin Disease Forecasting Tool, and that will actually take you to the Wisconsin Weather Station Network, where you can evaluate your area for potential tar spot, gray leaf spot, as well as the potential for white mold in soybeans. Again, the website, BadgerCropNetwork.com.
Don't let sick calves get you down and drain your profits. Get your calves up and moving with BioVet's Calf Electrolyte. Our Baselite product contains balanced electrolytes for restoring and maintaining proper fluid levels in scouring calves. Baselite also provides additional energy to support recovery. It's easy to mix, and calves are easy to drink it down to the last drop. Learn more about Baselite at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
Hey, gut yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2025 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. 2 winners will be selected from 4 geographical divisions, with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
Yesterday, barrel cheese gained 3 at 172.5. 40-pound block cheese was up a quarter at 172.25, while double-A butter gained a quarter, 260.25 per pound. This morning, December corn's down 2. November soybeans are up 3, and August milk is down 2. There's a quick market snapshot on a Wednesday. I'm PM Yonke.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We have a slight chance of a scattered shower or thunderstorm later this afternoon and again tonight. Otherwise, mostly sunny today with a high in the mid-80s this afternoon. Tonight, we're going to drop into the lower to mid-60s. Tomorrow, sunshine, isolated storms, 83. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 64.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Indy Duttagupta, he is with the Center for Law and Social Policy.
The Trump administration's agenda is reducing economic growth. The programs that they're proposing cutting, like Medicaid and SNAP, especially for kids, actually more than pay for themselves. So we are really looking at a tough long-term economic outlook entirely created by the current policymakers.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Wisconsin state budget, good, bad, what's going on with that? Dan Schaefer will join us to talk about that. Darren Von Ruden and Wisconsin farmers in hour number two. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
.735 now on these mornings, powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network. On the text line, Tom in Hartford, another great guest, Pat. It's uplifting to hear an intelligent, caring representative. Ain't it, though? It's just nice and refreshing when you get that compared to some of the things that you see out there in the news cycle. This is going to be a big day in Madison, not just because the legislature's meeting on the budget, but the Wisconsin Supreme Court has announced that today it will release its decision on its interpretation of an 1849 statute that some had purported to be an abortion ban. Others interpreted it as doing something else about protecting pregnant women. The law has been on hold since a Dane County judge ruled, I believe in the fall of 2023, that the law did not apply to consensual abortions. It was appealed to the state Supreme Court. And the state Supreme Court heard oral arguments in the case last November and is now ready to issue its ruling. And so that will come sometime today. So keep it tuned to your favorite shows across the Civic Media Radio Network to learn more. Let's turn now to a matter in our schools about participation in sports and other activities, and especially as it relates to members of the transgender community. That we're going to meet with a guest from the Baraboo area who is a retired pediatric nurse, sits on the school board, but is going to join us in a private capacity, and wrote a letter to the WIAA expressing concerns about a policy that restricts transgender student athletes to participate only in the sports categories corresponding to their sex assigned at birth. So let's learn more about that and what perhaps might be a better way forward with Carolyn Bonanno, who joins us now from Baraboo. Carolyn, good morning. Thank you for being here. How are you?
I'm good. It's frustrating, but good.
It does sound frustrating. You note in your letter to the members of the board of the Wisconsin Interscholastic Activities Association that their policy fails to account for current scientific understanding and may not serve the best interests of all student athletes. And you say this as a retired registered pediatric nurse and somebody who has certainly followed school matters carefully on school boards. So can you talk a bit more about, you know, what prompted the letter and then, basically your overview of the policies that prompted the letter?
Because I am on a board and I learned about this and I had been hearing rumblings, and I always heard that, well, this isn't true, that they shouldn't, it's not scientifically sound. And so I decided to do some of my own research because facts seem to be able to speak louder than feelings. And I think it's important. So I looked it up and I tried to find things that said that transgender women had an ability over other female athletes. And there was very little evidence to that at all. And as my brother said to me the other day, this whole thing, it just seems to be a solution to a problem that doesn't exist. And I think that it puts our most vulnerable students at higher risk. And so I just felt it was so wrong. And it's kind of like the first steps to dictatorship. If this happened immediately after Trump wrote his letter, his executive order banning transgender females, and this only and WIAA's policy only refers to transgender females. It doesn't look at anything else. I don't think they did any research whatsoever. They just followed along. They were in lockstep.
Yeah, it does have very much the sense of just a bit of political backlash, if you will, to things like legalizing same-sex marriage. Then there's another, let's find a new category of people to bash. You write that current research indicates that athletic performance differences are more complex than a simple binary categorization of assigned sex at birth, and that athletic performance varies enormously among individuals within any gender category. And that really gets to one of the things that has really stuck with me, is this ridiculous sense that somebody, a minor or an adult, would go through what you need to go through just to win a race. I mean, I thought it was silly on its face, but I mean, like you said, you had to look into the fact based of it to say between individual variations and simple binary categorization, there's a lot more to this than the surface talking points.
Yes. And it kind of boggles the mind as to why people would think that this is true. I mean, one of my first experiences as a school board member, I've only been on for about a year, a little over a year, was sitting down at a summer learning symposium at a table with a gentleman who was trying to push his facts through and saying things. We can't have these big guys competing against women. And I just looked at him and said, I don't think that's true. And I ended up leaving the table. And it was, and at WASB, the Wisconsin Association of School Board, has always, I mean, this person has been trying to put through policies to change it on a school board level, and WASB has declined, and we as school board members have declined this. So it boggles my mind that WIAA can have this much power. It bothers me. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I mean, there's still a lot to learn about these kind of things. And at best, it should be an individual categorization. I mean,
right. And they are not the only body that is working with this issue. And you note that the International Olympic Committee and other sports bodies have recognized that it's not about transition per se, but the timing of it, particularly where it occurs, you know, in terms of puberty. And certainly we're talking about things like testosterone levels, not simply the fact that there's been a transition or treatment, but again, time, testosterone, a whole lot of other factors that the International Olympic Committee is trying to be cognizant of. And you're concerned that the WIAA is being a little too simplistic about this, I think.
It very. And their policy was just very simplistic. There was no whys or wherefores about it. It was just a very simple statement saying this is the way it is. And I don't think they gave it any thought whatsoever. And it just seems punitive to me and dictatorial. Like I said, I did the research. The timing is important. And the thing is we don't know what's going on in anybody's mind or head or physical things. And it is something that you need to consider personally. I think they're pandering toward the fears of other people who don't have an understanding of what's going on. And frankly, why do we care? I mean, it's really small numbers. And it's important.
Really small.
Really small.
and it just, again, it provides opportunity for talking points, but also, as you note, privacy violations. The current policy, you write, forces families to engage in legal proceedings to secure their children's right to participate, which inherently compromises student privacy. It exposes personal medical information and gender identity status in public legal proceedings, violating the fundamental privacy that all students deserve. Or to put it a bit more crassly, but it certainly has been, so I'm not saying anything that hasn't been said before, the fact that some people want to do this is going to mean that a whole lot of other kids are going to be traumatized by either a coach, a school official, a lawyer, somebody. They're going to want to look down a kid's pants. What the heck is this?
When I was meeting with some legislators in aid, said that to me, that somebody, a representative, said that, well, just check them. And I'm like, oh my gosh. I mean, and as my daughter says to me, she says, Mom, it's weird that these people care so much about children's privates.
Yes.
It's weird.
It is weird, and it hasn't been said nearly enough, but it just is. So let's try to look forward on this, and we're talking to Carolyn Bonanno from Baraboo about this letter she wrote to the WIAA, and you asked the board to consider several things. You write, for example, developing individualized assessment protocols that consider factors such as hormone therapy duration, individual athletic metrics, consulting with medical professionals, sports scientists, LGBTQ plus advocacy groups, and review policies from other states and organizations that have developed more nuanced approaches. I think that's the key word there, is nuanced or individualized or consulting. All of these things sound like best practices moving forward.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what the world of medicine is, best practices. It is evidence-based. And that should be how everything is. Things should be based on evidence, on what is least destructive or hurtful to other people, and if it's even a necessary thing. You have to look at these things. You don't just willy-nilly. This is how dictatorships happen. Yeah. People just fall in line and nobody says anything. So yeah. I felt it was important to say something.
And so you urge them to refocus the WIAA's mission on supporting and including all student athletes rather than operating as a restrictive enforcement body, return to the core educational mission of fostering student development through athletics rather than creating barriers that force families to choose between their children's privacy and their right to participate in school activities. So that was the note. The letter was dated May 22nd. Has there been any response or reaction since then?
No.
Nothing.
Nothing. I emailed the members individually, and I sent this letter, and I have not heard a thing back.
And it sounds like there's no current plans to reconsider or do anything else on the issue?
Nope.
On the comment sections here from CT, the ban on transgendered student athletes buys into the notion that women are inherently weaker than men, which is ridiculous. And Alicia notes that policies like this do way more harm than good. And I mean, none of this strikes me as so unwieldy that you can't consider a better path forward.
Exactly. But I think that because of the current political ish system, we have somebody who thinks that he can just tell people what to do without any backlash. And whether you have it or not, he will just do what he wants. And it seems like the WIAA just fell in line. And well, unfortunately, and it's bothersome to me. I'm sorry. It's bothersome to me because I thought that the school boards we're supposed to give guidance to the WIAA, and it doesn't seem to be that way. It seems to be the other way around.
Well, it does. And when you talk about one individual, it certainly is about more than just, say, you know, who is president. Mm-hmm. You have, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, who has held up millions and millions of dollars in UW funding to attack diversity, equity, and inclusion. And I think, again, I'm projecting, but I wouldn't be surprised if WIAA board members were mindful of that and didn't want the Speaker of the Assembly threatening to cut off funds for high school sports and, you know, being focused on state budgets and school district budgets instead of the welfare of our kids is a hell of a way to run the state.
Exactly. And it seems to be backwards in my estimation, but
well, it certainly does, and that's why I really appreciated your willingness to come on and talk about the note that you sent. I hope you keep us updated, Carolyn Bonanno, as far as whether you get any kind of a response and any possible path forward. Carolyn, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much. A local update is coming up next for some of you, and then in our next hour, we will be talking to Earl Ingram about things happening in the Milwaukee area. We will also have Jimmy Koska coming up next for some of you, talking about what he's seen from Southwest Wisconsin, and then an hour later, James Kelly from Northwest Wisconsin, doing the same thing as we do here, mornings, powered by Up North News, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
When it comes to heating and cooling homes in central Wisconsin, make the call to the Bullpen for Comfort Air Heating Cooling Fireplaces, a proud partner of your Wisconsin Rapids Rafters. For more than 25 years, the Bryan experts have done whatever it takes to keep homeowners like you comfortable, from simple repairs and services to complete HVAC replacements and beyond. So no matter what you need, you'll know that their team has your back.
Need HVAC service now? Schedule yours by visiting comfortair.biz. That's comfort, AIRE.biz.
Meet Jeff. He is having a party. Unfortunately for Jeff, Mother Nature had other ideas. Don't be like Jeff, cold and wet. Call Party Envy Rentals today for any party, big or small, at 715-465-0122.
Make your party even better with Giant Backyard Games. Party Envy is here for your graduations, weddings, corporate picnics, and more. Make your event the talk of the town with Party Envy at 715-465-0122.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow humans some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Madam Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway from the fabulous city of Madison.
A lot of people say, I don't like politics. It's all dirty and angry and blah, blah, blah. It's really about caring about your community, finding a way to like bring it back to people talking to each other about what is important in our place and how do we take care of each other and use the levers of government to do that. That's really what it's about.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
It's National Handshake Day, but I find the idea that you just meet someone and you're holding a body part of theirs kind of odd. Hello, stranger. I'd like to squeeze your hand. Let's have an intimate act here. I have no idea where it's been or how you choose to use your hand in your spare time, but I'd like to hold it for a while. Unless it's a friend. Look, I don't know why we have to touch each other when we barely know each other.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
I mean, you always hear that, run government, you know, like a business. It's a little different, I'll tell you, it's a little different. But a lot of those same skills and tactics need to happen. There's still a bottom line, still got to make ends meet. You know, we at the local level don't get to print money. We have to balance budgets. And at the end of the day, one of the funniest things I always hear is when a constituent is typically upset or yelling at you, it's the statement is always, it's all about the money. And I go, yes, it really is. We have to be wise with those resources. We have to use them accordingly.
There's an old saying, 9 out of 10 businesses fail. So you have to start 10 businesses.
Right.
There's truth to it. You have to, you know, it all comes down to the individual person and the perseverance that they have to keep going. And the least we can do as a community is consolidate our resources so that they're not, to make the path a little bit easier so they're not running all over, getting burnt out and just frustrated, to just have that hub that they can come to and you have the ability to talk about things and be connected to the services that are there to get you started. And I think that's a big part of it. But in the end, yeah, it comes down to the person, the entrepreneur, to just keep going. Keep swimming is what I always tell my kids.
It's got to be a balance, I would imagine, and especially coming from the backgrounds you do. And I know it's a phrase, and we like phrases, and we go to them a lot. But I don't know that I want my government run like a business.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that that's the right way to approach it. I don't know that's the right way that the American people want it. And we're seeing that. We're hearing that a lot right now. I think that there are certainly parallels. Yeah. Absolutely. 100%. But I think of business, and I think of, well, this is about numbers. This is about black and white. This is about this and this. Nothing to do with feelings. Mm-hmm. And government needs feeling. I need my government to feel. I need my government to feel what I'm going through. I think part of the problem right now is we have a lot of people, and I'm not talking about the, you know, local government or anything like that, but a lot of the problem right now is most of the people in power have no idea what it is like on the ground level. Mm-hmm. Most of them have never had dirt under their nails. Most of them have not been what it is to be in blue collar life or anything like that. And a lot of those people are trying to run our government like a business right now. I'm not good with that, and I don't think most American people are.
You have to have compassion. But at the end of the day, there are parallels, you know, and the fiscal part of it is a big part of that. But there are things, for instance, like, you know, I'm all about competition, but I don't know that you need three sheriff's departments, so to speak, mm-hmm. or we don't need five human service departments. You know, those are government entities where competition tends to drive price. Yeah. I mean, it tends to keep it down. But you have to be compassionate. Mm-hmm. You have to listen to people. At the end of the day, though, you still have to pay the bills at this level.
Right. You can't do it all on feeling. Yeah. Absolutely, yes.
There's another segment to that. It kind of, it's like the third generation of anything, right? Mm. Like the first generation starts a business. They know the ins and outs because they had to fight tooth and nail in order to get everything that they build it up. And then, you know, their children come along and they're kind of with them. They're seeing how it went. They're a part of it. They can take it over and they can run what exists and do it pretty successfully. But that third generation, they don't have really any idea in the fourth and so forth. And that's when things start to kind of falter, because they're just living off the success that was built before them. And I kind of see governments that way, because most of the people in the government have no idea how it got built, and ultimately they're being handed a blank check, because we all have to be cautious of the money, the fiscal responsibility. But at the same time, they don't have to necessarily provide the best customer service. Mm-hmm, I mean, take mm-hmm. that as example. In a business, you lose your customer service, you're done. In a government, you can lose your customer service and you still get paid. Mm. And that's where things, you know, to get that back to the basic roots of what it takes to run a business and keep people happy, take care of your customers, that's what it should be. And the money should fall in line, and we should all respect that the money is not free and it did come from somewhere, and we should still be respectful of that.
Speaking with Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Matt Zacher and Wood County Board Chairman Lance Plimmel. Mayor, just a couple of quick things I wanted to touch on. One, the mill, how is that going? Any updates there?
The mill is going well. There's a lot of things. The craft mill is still coming down at a pretty good clip. So we're excited about that. Again, we're sad that it's going, but at the same time, way better than watching it deteriorate and just sitting there. So that's going really well. There is some good interest in some very big ways, but there's just so many moving parts and so much behind what it takes to make something like that happen. Certainly we can't get ahead of the game and start talking about things just because we want to keep everyone safe and happy and moving forward. But at the same time, the exciting part is that there is interest behind mm-hmm. The facilities that we have there and how all the pieces are going to be put together to see if we can make it work. So we're excited about that.
Enjoying some of the behind the scenes stuff with that as a construction kid and everything. I love seeing all that stuff and the way these things are going and stuff. And just seeing some of I've never been in that building really, so just seeing some of that has been kind of cool too.
It's nice that they allowed us to get some drone footage and stuff like that out of it. They've always worked really well with us. I'm appreciative of that. They don't mm-hmm. have to do that. They could very well say, stay out of our way. You know, we don't want to talk to you. So I appreciate the fact that we have good conversations and work well together. So thank you for that.
And James, I hear that all over. You know, when I travel the state with different entities, they say we have more cooperation in that Wisconsin Rapids, Wood County area, central Wisconsin, than we do in most areas. You know, those arguments and pressure points, you know, mm-hmm. that you have in other places just don't really exist here. Yeah. We tend to work together. Yeah.
And I wanted to mention this, that the city is in discussion about electing a city attorney. I just wanted to touch on that and just not clear the air, but just kind of like give the audience a little bit more idea of that. I had a couple of listeners asking me, what is this? I don't know anything about this. And just to touch on it a little.
Yeah. So the it was brought up by a councilman just to have the that's how I look at it, just to have the conversation if it's something that they're interested in. We've always had an elected city attorney. We're only 14 of all the municipalities and that we have that have a corporate counsel for the municipal corporation. And so the question is, you know, what's better, what's worse? You know, some will say, well, it's nice to have the differentiation between the executive branch, the judicial branch, legislative branch. In this case, I guess, you know, I can see.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcast.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Lawmakers in the House are set to take up the Senate's version of the president's so-called Big Beautiful Bill today. CBS's Caitlin Huey Burns.
In a social media post, President Trump had a message for House Republicans. Stay united, have fun, and vote yay.
It's back to work for jurors in Sean Combs' trial. They told the judge they could only reach a partial verdict after getting stuck on a racketeering count. CBS's Katrina Kaufman.
There's a lot of decisions here, whether they committed kidnapping, arson, obstruction of justice, witness tampering, and then, of course, the other underlying sex trafficking and transportation to engage in prostitution charges.
Ryan Koberger set to enter a guilty plea today in the murders of four University of Idaho students. CBS's Carter Evans is in Boise.
The term